Now, back to the Barnabas Health High School football show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And if you are cruising around and thinking it's a Thursday night, I'll go in late Friday, I want to watch the Yankees or I want to watch the Steelers, this is the place to be. Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River here till 8:30, as we are every Thursday night. Got a halftime score for you from Pinelands Regional, where Monsignor Donovan really starting to put it on the Wildcats. It's 28-0 Griffins at the half, and it looks like they will remain unbeaten in Class B South. Well, coming off a bye last week, the Hawks of Monmouth University jump right back into it on Saturday on what should be a gorgeous fall afternoon in Ithaca, New York. It'll be Monmouth taking on the Big Red of Cornell. Of course, the Hawks head coach is Kevin Callahan, and as he does every Thursday night, he joins us. And, Coach, we'll open up by asking you to describe how the bye week went.
You know what, guys? I thought the bye week came at a perfect time this year. You know, it's really the midpoint in the season, and I think this is the first time in maybe 6 or 7 years that it has come really, you know, at this time. And I think it gave us an opportunity to rest up, to heal up, and also to get back to some basics and you know, work on some fundamentals and develop some of our younger guys, as we spoke about last week. And, you know, we've had three great practices this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, terrific practices. Our guys are charged up. They're ready to go.
Coach, I would imagine that this week pass defense was a high priority. You're facing a quarterback in Jeff Matthews that has thrown for a little more than 350 a game and an offense that averages 425 yards a game.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Ed. They can really light it up. Jeff Matthews, the Ivy League Player of the Year a year ago, is a terrific receiver. You know, we've heard from, you know, a number of people that he's projected a top three-round draft choice. And what wow. makes him so good is he's very accurate. He's got a very, very quick release, and he seems to have a great pre-snap understanding of where the ball should go. There's many times on film where they will openly let free blitzers come because they know the ball is going to be out of his hands that quick, and that's certainly a challenge. And they've got some talented receivers. One being, you know, Shane Savage, who was a All-Ivy kid, and he's also a preseason All-American receiver, although he's been hampered a little bit by some injuries. Steve Tasker, the former Buffalo Bill, his son Luke Tasker,
wow.
is one of their other receivers, and he's very talented as well. And they throw it around. Through their first four games, they're averaging 55 passes a game. They are going to put the ball in the air.
Coach, first time that Monmouth has ever played in Ivy League school, and it's, as we talked about on Tuesday night on your show, kind of a unique setting, you know, being at Cornell. It's a big stadium. It's a school that has a lot of history, that's been playing football for a long time, and I know kind of a special moment anytime Monmouth does something for the first time. Talk about the idea of playing an Ivy League school and putting them on the schedule.
You know, I think it's great, Matt. I think to play a team that's had football since 1887, it's 125 years. Incidentally, there was only 1 year since 1887 they didn't play football. That was during World War One. A team that had a Heisman Trophy runner-up in Ed Marinaro. A team that's got a great stadium and a long-standing tradition of football. I think that's exciting for us. It's exciting for our players. And I spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks telling our players about their history, because I really want them to truly understand the tradition behind it. And, you know, we're celebrating our 20th year of football. And when you compare that to 125 years, you've got to step back and say, wow. You know, this has been going on a long time. You know. Plus, it's a great school. It's a great opponent for Monmouth. It's up in my hometown area. I grew up maybe, you know, 30 miles from Ithaca Stadium, and I saw Ed Marinaro play there when he was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy when I was in high school. There's nothing bad about this. It's a great matchup. They're a very, very good football team. It's a great environment to take our players into.
By the way, here's one for you. Now, Coach, I know you'll know this, so I'll let the other guys take a shot at it now. Ed Marinaro, I was a big Ed Marinaro fan in college.
Hill Street Blues.
I didn't want you to do that.
Was that the question?
Yeah, that was the question.
I thought you were going to ask me who won the Heisman Trophy by one vote over Ed Marinaro in 1972.
That was 72 would have been
Johnny Rogers,
right?
From Nebraska.
It might have been 71 then.
71 was
Auburn.
Pat Sullivan from Auburn, that is correct. That was 71. But I was gonna throw these guys out. What police drama?
I would have known that. Hill Street Blues, the cop show.
All right, then what was the name of the character he played?
I don't know.
I think it was Lieutenant Joe Coffey.
Okay.
I know his
last name
was Coffey.
I think you're right on.
There you go. All right, we digress for a second from there.
Coach,
Matt's totally lost by that conversation.
No, Hill Street Blues. I watched that when I was a kid.
All right.
I'm not that young.
All right,
Kevin.
Okay,
I mean,
Matt.
I know you're
Matt
old, but I'm not
Matt
that young.
Gone.
That's not true. I used to watch it.
Rerun.
Coach, how about the health of some of the guys? You know, you talked about that bye week, and there were some players that have been nicked up over the course of the last week or so, as most guys are at this point of the season. Anyone coming back into the lineup this weekend?
Well, you know, as I said, Matt, you know, when we talked about this on the show on Tuesday night, you know, you ask a coach during the week heading into the game who's going to play, they're all going to play. They're all healthy. But, you know, honestly, you know, we are much healthier. You know, Neil Sterling looking good, the best he's looked this year. The bye week did him, you know, a tremendous amount of good. Feel very good about that. Pat Gray, who missed the Albany game, really had a great week of practice and looking very good. Billy Louch, who missed the game at Albany as well, really looks good. Best day yet today.
So let me throw this one out.
I'm very optimistic.
Let me ask you this, and not to put you on the spot, but give us a couple of guys, Coach, who, you know, we're now at that midway point of the season, who maybe were not high on your depth chart first week in September, but have worked their way 5 or 6 weeks later into guys that are, you know, close to contributing to your team.
Well, you know, I want to say this, not that they weren't high on our depth chart in preseason, but, you know, one of the guys who has really come on and made strides the way we thought he would is Joe Johnson from Manchester. He's doing a terrific job. He's played in every game that we've had so far. He's played more and more each game as we've gone through the season. He's played a couple of different positions. He's taken some reps at safety in our nickel package. He's taken some reps at corner, which is his natural position for us. Very, very happy with what he's doing. Very excited about that. I mean, really like what he's doing. And then you've got Evan Ruane from Shore Regional, who is, you know, he's behind Tyler George and Mike McClafferty, but the deeper that we get into the season, the more we use our tight ends and our multiple tight end packages, is starting to make a bigger and bigger impact in what we're doing.
All right, so Monmouth will be at Cornell. That's a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Of course, you can hear that game on our sister stations, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 AM, and also at ShoreSportsNetwork.com. And then Coach Cal and Matt will talk all about that on Tuesday night on their show, also at 1160 and 1310 AM at 7 o'clock from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End. Coach, we appreciate you giving us some time. Looking forward to getting the Hawks back home at Kessler a week or so from now.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to it as well.
All right, Monmouth at Cornell on Saturday. That should be fun. I'm sure you're looking forward to that one?
This weekend?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I look forward to every game. But, you know, I am kind of intrigued to be up at a place like Cornell that has that long tradition. It's a stadium that seats about 25,000 people. I mean, I don't know how many they'll put in it on Saturday. But I think it's going to be fun. It'll be a fun atmosphere. It'll be a fun thing
leaves
to be a part of.
Leaves turning up there in the fall. Yeah, nice foliage strip.
Absolutely.
He's going to enjoy the ride up. By the way, if I was a defensive coordinator for Monmouth this week, I'd be praying to the rain gods.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Saturday.
I know. No, you Saturday opened up nice. The interview with that nice fall day coming. Yeah. And I was thinking, this kid throws for like 360 a game. Wow. But one thing I will tell you, Matt, it's going to be a long game. throwing the ball that many times. Wow. Unless Monmouth could just control the game.
I'll be listening.
That's basically the object Saturday for Monmouth's offense.
Yeah, I would say limit some possessions for Cornell. Keep the ball out of the hands of the quarterback.
Yep. Scott Stumpf's midseason report coming up after this timeout. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show at 105.7 The Hawk.
105.7 The Hawk, Free Beer and Hot Wings Morning Show.
After seeing a video that you can see at freebeerandhotwings.com, we talked about accidental injury by your parents.
Well, we were camping by a river, and my dad was fishing, and he cast back and hooked my brother in the lip.
Oh, no!
Yeah, my dad was very old school and suck it up, and he took the hook out of his lip. And
He did? But that kid looks, he probably looks like he's got a can opener on his face now.
Yeah, he's got a scar, but.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
And no lip.
It's
Thank
all
you, Mom.
Right. Rub a little dirt on it. He'll just look permanently like he's got a vagina on his lip.
You don't need stitches. You need duct tape.
Wake up with a Free Beer and Hot Wings Morning Show. Weekdays 5 to 10. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
There's something special about seeing your son take the field with his team. The roar of the crowd as they charge between lines of cheerleaders, fists punching the cool night air. You hear the tinny echo of the PA and the familiar fight song from the marching band. And it takes you back to when you were on that field, in these stands, so many years ago. This is the stuff high school memories are made of. Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers are proud to be a part of Jersey Shore High School football. And should the need arise, we're ready with the region's most experienced team of orthopedic sports medicine specialists, experts in the very latest minimally invasive techniques. Football season won't last forever, but the memories will. To learn more about the extraordinary orthopedic care you'll find at Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers, visit barnabashealth.org. Or call 888-724-7123.
You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And here's Scott Stumpf from All Shore Media, also ShoreSportsNetwork.com. He joins us here on a Thursday night. Scott, before we just jump into a couple of the midseason things you wrote about this week, want to get your thoughts on the decision to move Brick Memorial all the way up from number 5 to number 2, past a pair of undefeated teams ranked ahead of them prior week after the win over Neptune.
I've got the answer before Scott even says anything. He turned his back on his computer, and Ed juggled things around real quick and then hit send before anyone could get to it.
You already summed it up. I guess I don't even need to answer now.
I actually sent you my top 10 first that I wrote on Saturday night, so you had to follow me. Thanks, Scott.
Well, they
deserved it.
I just thought if you're looking at teams with the most quality wins on the board, I mean, what's a better win than knocking off the team with a 14-game winning streak, you know? And I know Lacey has a nice win over Toms River North and Manalapan with a good win over Middletown South, but if you're comparing those, I think, you know, Brick Memorial's was the most impressive at this time. And my other feeling was it will work itself out. You know, if Lacey fans are upset, guess what? You play each other on the state playoff cutoff weekend, just go out and beat them, you know, and there's certainly a good chance Brick Memorial could see Manalapan in Central Jersey Group 5. So I guess the one thing was, hey, even if maybe I'm going a little bit too far on this or people are upset they got jumped, they should have a chance to rectify it on the field. But my other feeling was, hey, if Brick Memorial runs the gauntlet of the teams it has to play, if it beats Lacey, Southern, and Toms River North before the state playoffs, I think you could almost make an argument they could jump to number one. You know, because who would have a more impressive resume than that?
Yeah, I agree, Scott. What can you say about that ball game? A tremendous football game for both teams. Let's talk about some of the other big games this week, or actually your midseason report. Let's talk about the best race. That's the A-South, right?
Yeah, without question. I think that's going to be just so exciting as we go down to the finish. We got two good ones this weekend. Brick Memorial, Toms River North. Obviously, Memorial opened everyone's eyes last week, but, you know, Toms River North would love nothing more than to knock them down a peg and hit them with a letdown game. And then you also have Southern Lacey on Saturday. So, I think, you know, that's an excellent game. Southern's homecoming should be a great crowd. You know, Southern loses one game by 3 points on a 45-yard field goal in the fourth quarter, and it's almost like they fall off the face of the earth and people dismiss them. They still are the defending champs. They're a quality team. I mean, Lacey roars in averaging, you know, 46 points a game. They've just been excellent. But I think this is, you know, and this is another big hurdle for Lacey. If they beat them, they now have wins over North and Southern, and it's really only Brick Memorial standing in their way to winning that division. But I think when you have four teams that are all legitimately good, you know, just the different permutations of those teams playing each other in the next couple of weeks is going to be a lot of fun.
Scott, tell me now, halfway through the season, is this a good year for Shore Conference football, an average year, or still yet to be determined?
I think it's a very good year if you're evaluating it by state brackets and what we may be able to do in November, you know, and December. Because I think if you look at Central Group 5, we have two really legitimate contenders in Manalapan and Brick Memorial. Central 4, you know, Sayreville is still the big-time team there, but Middletown South very much improved from last year. They look like they're going to be really tough out, like always, in the state playoffs. And there's a few others, you know, which still the jury's still out on, like Colts Neck and some other like that. And then Central 3, I still think Neptune can win that bracket, and if they don't, it might be Long Branch that beats them. Central 2, I think Rumson has as good a shot as any to go get back to the finals and maybe even win it. And then Central 1 is looking like Shore and Point Beach. And then in South Jersey, you got to think Lacey has a good shot in their bracket. And you never know, even with like a Barnegat, if with St. John Erskine there and some other guys, although they're fairly young, you never know. And then, you know, Toms River North and Southern will be in it, although Williamstown's the favorite. But I think if you're looking at it, you think there's a chance the Shore could win, you know, at least three state titles, possibly four or more. And to me, that's a pretty good year.
Scott, let me throw a couple of these by. And again, by the way, you can read all of this from Scott on allshoremedia.com. But real quick, we've only got a couple minutes left. Biggest surprise team for you so far this year?
Yeah, I think I put in there as Monsignor Donovan so far, just because the way they started against St. John Vianney. Now they won three straight on their way to four straight tonight. They're up 28-0 on Pinelands at halftime. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on that, though. If a Colts Neck goes out and beats Vianney in, like, Manalapan or something, I think they would be the surprise team. And even though we knew they were going to be good, looking at it, you got to think it's not crazy that Point Beach could go 12-0. And, you know, if they can probably maybe beat Shore Regional twice. So when you look at something like that, I don't know if anyone would have totally predicted that coming into the year either.
And I like one of the things, one of your categories, most improved player.
Yeah, I picked Ryan Kurtz from Keensburg. I mean, he started last year in a few games his sophomore year, but that team really struggled, and they only won one game combined the last 2 years. They're off to a 4-1 start, and not only that, you know, he's had two games already where he's had five combined touchdowns between rushing and passing. I think he's really taken a big leap forward, and I also really like Tom Kelly on Lacey, their quarterback, who started as a sophomore, kind of took his lumps while learning last year. He's taken a big step forward, and clearly their offense has taken a quantum leap forward. So I really like what I've seen out of those two guys so far.
Scott, so far, you know, on the flip side, what's been kind of a couple of disappointments this year? Teams that maybe you thought would be a little bit better. You know, there's still right now nine teams that haven't won a football game yet. What among the teams that have struggled so far this year are the biggest surprises?
I think a lot of people had big expectations for Red Bank Regional with Garrick Sickles and that senior class, and for them to be 0-4, and then they got to play Neptune this week, so there's a good chance they'll be 0-5. I think that's, you know, a little disappointing for Red Bank, just because with that senior class, they really thought this would be the year they take the next step and maybe win a playoff game. But it looks like, you know, a long shot to even have a prayer to make the playoffs. So that's one team that I think is probably a little disappointed. I mean, it's hard to fault a team like maybe Barnegat that's 2-2 at this point, just because, you know, their starting quarterback had to sit out four games for transferring, so maybe they didn't have their full team from the beginning. So I think it's hard to judge them. But, yeah, I think, you know, Red Banks. And I also think Freehold Township, which had 35 seniors
right.
and really thought this was going to be an improved year, they're still winless as well. I think that, and I think a little bit with Howell, you know, that's a program that had kind of been a perennial contender, and they still haven't won a game this year either. I think that those, you know, those programs probably thought they'd be in a much different spot right now than they are.
Okay, Scott, we got about 1 minute. I'm going to mention two players. Give me an injury update. Josh Klecko from Red Bank Catholic and Dwight Clark from Long Branch.
Well, it looks like Klecko may be out one more week, and then they have their bye. I think they brought him good and healthy to play that Middletown South game. And then Dwight Clark, I just talked to him today. He's not going to play this weekend, according to a Long Branch assistant who I spoke with today, which means it may be next week for his return.
AllShoreMedia.com, that's where you can find it. Of course, the Allshore Media Review every other week available at all Wawas in Monmouth and Ocean Counties for free. He is Scott Stump. He's our guy. Scott, have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right, so a nice segue, Ed. You asked about injuries, and we're going to segue into our medical spotlight this week, in which we chat with Ray Howard, the Regional Director of Rehabilitation Services at Community and Kimball Medical Center. We are chatting tonight on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show with Ray Howard, who's the Regional Director of Rehabilitation Services at Community and Kimball Medical Centers. Ray, first of all, thanks for giving us some time tonight. Good to chat with you.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk a little bit about ways to prevent injuries for both competitive high school athletes and the so-called weekend warrior. How important is stretching before you begin a sporting event?
Right, Kevin. One of the most important things, as most people know, is a proper warm-up. You know, it could be a light jog to bring a light sweat on, and static or dynamic stretches. Dynamic stretches are those the kind of stretches that you go through where you're actually simulating a lot of the movement that you'll be doing during soccer, football, whatever sport you may be involved in. It seems to be a more effective way, studies have shown, to prevent injury.
And if you're one of those guys or girls who only, let's say, does something on a Saturday and Sunday, it's probably more important that you get a good stretch, right?
It is, you know, and there's one of the things we refer to a lot to with our folks is the terrible twos, either too much, too soon, you know, too much activity, you know, too early in the program. So you want to make sure that you're guiding yourself into the program very gradually, especially if you're a weekend warrior, that you're not getting into that program too quickly, so you're going to frustrate yourself and cause injury.
What advice can you give someone who has suffered an injury, and how do you know if it's one of those things you can walk off? I always think back when I was a youngster, a teenager, I hurt myself playing basketball. The person at that time said, just walk it off. So I walked it off for 2 days and ended up with torn ligaments.
Right. Yeah, you know, what happens, if you have a serious injury, usually you're going to be unable to support the weight, you know, through your injured leg or not able to raise your arm. A really good sign is if there's substantial swelling within 5 minutes after the injury, the pain's lasting longer for, you know, than an hour after the injury, or the pain gets worse over the next couple days, you really want to see your orthopedic surgeon or physical therapist to try to make sure that injury is something that you know is not going to be a chronic injury for you.
Again, we're talking with Ray Howard, as the Regional Director of Rehabilitation Services at Community and Kimball Medical Centers. All right, so there's also a difference, I guess, between an injury that you might be able to kind of work through and sort of work it out, or just sort of you got to rest it. Again,
right.
Obviously that's probably more for a doctor, but again, for somebody, you know, who might not be aware, what's the story here? What advice would you give?
Right. If you have an injury, you suffer an injury, what you want to do is stop, kind of assess the damage, make sure that, you know, you're moving the body part, see how it feels, you know, give yourself a little bit of a rest to kind of assess what's happened. And if it's something where you're not able to move the body part or it gets worse as you're moving along, you know, it may indicate a serious injury. You know, if not, you know, we go with what we call the RICE principles, and that basically means rest, ice, compression, and elevation. Those are the sound principles that you want to do for an acute injury to make sure that you relatively rest it, you're not moving through that painful motion. You're going to use ice on it, compress it gently, and elevate it above your heart to keep the swelling down.
And, Ray, ice would always go before heat, right?
Absolutely, you're right. The first 3 days especially to keep the swelling down.
All right, what can an athlete do on any level to stay in shape after they suffer an injury and they're in the rehab or recovering stage, especially cardiovascular? If you've got a knee or ankle injury, what are some of the things you can do so you don't lose that conditioning you might have built up?
Right. I mean, we call it relative rest. So there's things that you can do. If you can get on a bicycle that doesn't cause a lot of pain, you can work through the injury. You can actually keep your conditioning level to its max. There's upper body arm bikes that we use that you can work the arms while the leg is injured. And essentially, getting through motions that are not painful is key. Getting into a pool is a good way to exercise without actually aggravating the injury if it's a lower extremity or leg injury.
Ray, we certainly hear that injuries can affect males and females in different ways, and especially with knee injuries.
Right.
Is that true, and what are some of the main differences?
Yeah, what you're going to see in females, there is a higher incidence of ACL injuries up until, till puberty. Basically, the injury rates are about the same. But once the kids start to get older, there's a higher incidence of ACL injuries in the female than males. It has a lot to do with, body types, different, developmental changes. And, so a lot of the injuries that occur in women are, they're non-contact injuries. So they can come from jumping or landing improperly or cutting and changing directions rapidly. And the ACL ligament ends up tearing or rupturing.
Yeah, we even hear today with cheerleaders, they'll suffer a lot of ACL injuries, right?
Right, and the big thing is that girls land differently than boys do. A lot of the programs we have at Community basically help to train those athletes so that they land properly, jump properly, and they change direction. So, and studies have shown that that's a very effective way of helping to reduce the ACL incidence of injuries in women.
I'm going to throw one more thing at you. Maybe
sure.
The biggest change today in rehab, what you do, is how quick that process begins after really any kind of injury. What really determines the timeline for rehab to start?
Absolutely. We do emphasize early mobility. And as long as there's not a fracture that's unstable the orthopedic surgeon has given that kind of go-ahead to start mobilizing that joint, we start as early as possible. Ankle sprains, for example, if you can walk on it, it's better to walk on it and avoid excessive activity, but you really want to start moving that body part early.
And you'll even do something where you might have somebody who's had something like a hip replacement surgery. I mean, their rehab is beginning really quickly after such a major procedure.
Absolutely. If a patient has the hip replacement or knee replacement, they're up usually the same day or immediately the day after surgery, up walking, 100, 200 feet. No longer the days where they're lying in bed and resting and waiting for it to get better. Our outcomes are fantastic. People are up walking 400 or 500 feet 5 days after surgery.
And you would know better than anyone, obviously, the quicker and the harder somebody works in the rehab process, the quicker they're going to get back to full recuperation.
Absolutely. It's not a no pain, no gain principle, but there is, a bit of strain, and it's with proper guidance of the physical therapist. We get people back on their feet a lot earlier than they did years ago.
Ray Howard, the Regional Director of Rehabilitation Services for both Community and Kimball Medical Centers. We thank you so much for joining us on our show.
Great. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. It's pick six time very quickly. Last week, Ed with a banner week, 6-0. I was 5-1. Matt is 4-2 for the season. I'm 23-7. Coach Sarluka's moved to within a game, and Matt has solidified his spot in the cellar. Let's start with the game we'll do tomorrow night on 105.7 Hawk. Barnegat at Central.
I like Barnegat in that one.
I take Barnegat also.
You know where I'm going. I'm going Central. Brick Memorial at Toms River North, big one in Class A South. I'll go first. I've gone back and forth on this game so many times. I am going to take Brick Memorial.
I am taking the Stangs also.
I have Brick Memorial, too.
Wow, I'm surprised about that. Colts Neck, it's 4-0 at St. John Vianney, 2-2.
Tough game, I think, to pick, but I will take Colts Neck.
I'm going to go St. John Vianney.
I'm going to go St. John Vianney as well. Lakewood at Jackson Liberty.
Another tough one. I'm going to go Jack's Liberty.
Kevin?
Jack's Liberty.
I'm going to take Lakewood.
Lacey at Southern, big one on Saturday.
Lacey.
Lions, Lacey.
Southern. Just to break it up. Wallet Mattawan Saturday night.
I like the Huskies. Mattawan at night, at home.
Mattawan.
Mattawan as well. That will do it for our picks. That will do it for our show. Special thanks to the guys from Point Pleasant Beach at Central Regional, including coaches Vince Casale and John Wagner. Colts Neck coach Greg Lakava, Kevin Callahan, Scott Stump, and Ray Howard. Another big weekend of high school football coming up. Join us tomorrow night on 105.7 The Hawk for Barnegat at Central. For Tom Tremblay and Phil Harding, who made it all happen, I'm Kevin Williams, along with Matt Harmon and Ed Sarluka, wishing you a great Thursday night. You've been listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
The Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River on 105.7 The Hawk, was powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Join us again next week. Get a complete look at Shore Conference football. And for more, anytime, log on to ShoreSportsNetwork.com.